meeting of Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee to honor. We're meeting this morning for the purpose of, or coming together jointly with the Budget Appropriations Committee to handle seven items, I believe, that were referred to both committees. Just for clarification, because this is being televised, the concern we have with, we need the staffs to be coordinating what is going to be on the agendas and at what point they're going to be taken up, because these are meetings that are official official proceedings of the Board of Legislators. We meet in accordance with a schedule that by law we're required to put out in advance. This meeting was called for 10 o'clock, as Mr. Rogowski noted, with a 10 o'clock call, we have members coming to this meeting that expect to begin their business at 10 o'clock. We have other parties that will appear before the committee. We have members of the public that will come in expecting a 10 o'clock start. So we all know we're just trying to do the best we can, and Mr. Rogowski made a decision this morning, which I think was a good one in light of a lengthy period of time the budget director had to appear or sit here last week. So we got him on and off. It was an informative few minutes. The two committees now are in session for the purpose of taking up these items, and I know that some of the members may have to run. Let's try to get as much of this business done as possible, as many votes as we can take responsibly after receiving the explanations that we need from our department heads. All right, with that said, why don't we go right into the first item that's up jointly before the two committees. It's your ID number 3526, proposed act involving terminal system upgrades. And who was with us again this morning to discuss this?
Oh,
Commissioner John Hsu.
I brought along with me Pete Shear, the airport manager, and Patty Shemko, my deputy. And the last time we met with the committee, the chairman requested that we go back and visit all of the previous terminal funding that the board had appropriated so that we can review the progress of those expenditures. So we prepared a slide which shows all of those projects and how they fit into the terminal, as well as present the 2011 capital and the proposed 12 capital that we've submitted to the capital working group, just so the board gets an idea of what we're seeking for next year's capital improvement program. So with that, what I'll do is we'll start the presentation, and afterwards we'll leave several versions of the slide for the board members. And this is the slide that we'll be presenting going through the budget process for capital.
Very good.
Okay.
Pat, Peter, good to have you with us here today.
Thanks.
You could go on this one.
Okay. You could do the narrative.
Shows the aerial plan of the airport, location of the work. This is a terminal building, which a lot of you have flown out of, which is, I appreciate that. With that, as you recall, this is the first floor of the terminal building. And as you recall, the number of passengers that we've been getting into the terminal building went from 900,000 passengers to just about 2 million passengers. With that, the terminal has been very small. We've had to do normal modifications, such as, here's an example, the departure lounge originally had only about 85 seats. There's about 200 seats in there. But that kind of takes space from different areas of the terminal building, such as airline operations, and actually expand the departure lounge a little bit. We've also had to take the exit area, which is the blue area right there, and actually develop an exit area for passengers to offload of the aircraft. This has been an important factor in the fact that we had to meet TSA regulations in order to protect anybody from re-entering the terminal building departure lounge. Actually, right now, we've done such a good job that TSA has not been able to break our system, and they've actually tried to duplicate it at other airports. Ticket lobby has been impacted with the fact that we've had to put in baggage screening machines. After 9/11, the screening machines are required to screen every single bag. Prior to that, bags going in the belly of the airplanes were not screened at all airports. So these are things that have taken up space into the ticket lobby. Also with that, we're going to be building a TSA baggage security screen building next to the north side of the terminal. And also what we've done is, with 9/11, the curbside baggage area, curbside check-in was eliminated because we couldn't screen the bags. We've actually made modifications so that passengers could come in and actually check their bags at curbside and then actually go into the terminal building and have their baggage screened. So there's a lot of modifications that have occurred. Airline operations area, that was an area that we took 1,000 square feet, which was used for pilots to do briefing, weather briefings, also to run a lot of the flights, do weights and balances. Reduce that down almost to a closet level with the intention of building some future development. So that made up for about 1,000 square feet. Baggage makeup area, we only had a small little area. With the number of bags, we went from about 300,000 bags to well over 800,000 bags that we had to handle. In a limited room, we actually developed an area where we can actually keep it out of the rain and the weather. Baggage makeup area, again, that was a big plus. We also had to build a women's room, bathroom. We actually had to relocate it because TSA came in with new machines, and if we didn't get any square footage for them, we would reduce our throughput capacity by about 50%. So we built a new bathroom, relocated everything, and basically were able to get a good throughput with TSA, which is important for us since we have a small bag, full departure line. And additional passenger seating, which is in the very south east corner of the building. We actually put some seating because we didn't have enough seats in the waiting area for people to pick up loved ones and baggage. And new airline ticket counter location. We've had to modify a lot of our ticket counters. And you can see it's not a streamlined system over there. We've actually had little pockets of ticket counters in order to survive. Again, all these little things represent our ability to survive and handle 2 million passengers safely and securely. So, again, we're getting to the point where we've got to do some other major type of renovation in order to try to meet the needs of our passengers. Again, these are some pictures showing the walkway areas that didn't exist before. That walkway actually represented where we used to have to take them out into the rain in order to get them through the lobby, bypass the lobby area. Security screening, if you recall, our security screening went from about, when we originally started, it was about 800 square feet. We're up to 2,500 square feet in our security screening area. Again, these machines are actually taking up the ticket lobby. This is our baggage screening machines that have to go before they get loaded onto the airplane. They didn't exist. We had to actually take the ticket counters out of that location and actually remove the conveyor belts in order to fit these machines in. Again, we've gone from about 300,000 bags to well over 800,000 bags in the process. Again, here's an expansion of an area where we've actually taken a JetBlue ticket counters and had to move them away from the normal ticket lobby and place them in this location.
Pete, just a quick question. The
sure.
The benchmark number for bags, the 200,000 and the 900,000 passenger count, those are connected to what year?
Well, I took 2005 as a number.
2005.
Okay. So we've grown quite a bit to 2 million passengers. And again, our numbers continue to climb. We're going to hit our magic cap under the terminal use agreement where we will probably limit the number of growth we're going to experience there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Again, this area here represents an area that we took 1,000 square feet to actually put some counters in the departure lounge that was taken from airline operations. Again, this is our baggage makeup area. This used to be an outside area where they used to, when with bags actually were placed out there, they would be exposed to the rain, they'd be exposed to all different temperatures, and I don't know if you like it or not. I don't like a wet bag when I get to my destination, especially when I have my golf bags. Again, we put in additional bathrooms. We've actually, by moving the ladies' room down there, we put in additional service bathrooms, such as what we call family bathrooms, which made a big difference. For people that are, we get a lot of older people that come through that need both parties to go in and help, and also with children. People with children needing to be able to contain them while they go to the bathroom. And this is a seating area that we just actually put in place about a year ago, and it provides a little bit of seating for people that come into the terminal building to pick up bags or pick up passengers. And again, this is our ticket, what's left over are some of our ticket areas. Got to chop them up a little bit.
And that's it for all of the projects that have been done in the past up till today.
Okay, Mr. Chairman Hsu, we just have one request. In the spirit of full disclosure, I am colorblind. So I saw a lot of colors up there. It was very hard to figure out what was associated with what, but we'll deal with that in the future. But that's my problem.
And do we have this? Did you send this to us electronically? Because in black and white, it's not. Black and white or color, it doesn't really matter.
We're actually going to make you colored versions of these things instead of making color versions.
Mr. Chairman, the environment and energy hat on for a second. I mean, they send it to us electronically. Those don't need to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Were those LED lights in the new baggage handling area?
They're LED lights.
Yep.
Look like LED lights. I was just checking on that. Good. Well, Mr.
Go ahead. So this that's
mentioned. This current today.
That's today.
Right. Now we're going to show going
right.
forward.
Okay.
Okay.
So these are the projects that are currently in design or in construction at the airport terminal. Again, the terminal, the location of the terminal. And the summary of the projects are the electrical system upgrade, the existing capital project, rental car parking area resurfacing, which is actually part of the de-icing project. That particular component is in design and going up for construction. And then construction of passenger walkways on the air side, getting people from the terminal to the actual aircraft. Terminal systems upgrade project, the subject of this, the capital budget amendment. And restroom renovations on the second floor of the terminal, which is a non-recurring project. And again, the entire DS included collection systems. The baggage screening building, which is being constructed on the to the north of the current terminal. Now again, this is a existing capital project. Its construction cost is estimated at $4 million. It is necessary in order to undertake some of the de-icing project, the baggage screening project, and anything going on at the airport terminal.
This is the project the board asked us to cash out last year.
Right.
We're cashing this project out for me.
Right. So design is underway for the installation of electrical switchgear, underground electrical conduit and manholes, and the installation of new high voltage electrical cable. The rental car parking area resurfacing. If you're familiar with the airport, the car rental lot is on the southern part of the terminal. It's going to be relocated to the northern. To the northern area of the terminal, actually north of the ground handling building. And it's reconstruction, it's electrical lines that have to go in there. This project needs to take place so that the de-icing project can move forward on the south end of the terminal.
One question, just to that. Was that paved before?
Yes, right now.
So this is not changing the impermeability or anything?
Okay. Currently, that's the employee parking area. If you
Got
come
it.
In, okay? So what's happening is that the rental car lot is here.
Right.
We're actually going to redesign this and flip it.
Okay.
The de-icing is going here.
Right.
So all these contracts have been issued. We actually had a pre-construction meeting last week. It's probably an 8-week project. And that will be in construction to be completed before Labor Day. Okay.
So where's the employee parking going?
We're relocating into a couple of locations. There's actually an area we're going to have a lease modification request, and that actually picks up 62 parking spaces. We're also going to move them to Hangar D, some space available up there, and we're juggling around some of the other locations. They're going to be scattered throughout the airport.
Okay, in existing parking
areas.
Gotcha.
Are we creating, if I may, to that, are we creating any new impermeability?
No.
Thinking of the Blind Brook.
Can you just go back one slide? Just
sure.
Is that included in this, the cash up that we requested? We did that last year, right? Is that included in our CAFRA number? Final finance number? Do you know? If you don't know, it's okay.
The entry of cash to this particular capital project has been made. Finance has allocated $4 million.
It has not been drawn from the fund balance. So the $24 million fund balance is, in fact, the journal entries been made, but the actual dollars have not been drawn because we have not issued contracts or expended dollars to require the budget director to make it whole. So the answer is no, we have not drawn from the airport reserve fund for that $4 million.
I mean, the draft was 28 million in 2010.
It was 24, 24, 25. It's a moving target every day.
29.
29?
Okay. 29, 321.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr.
Okay, construction of passenger walkways. This is if, you've been to the airport, we have two jet bridges, but we've what's been proposed and what's been designed is the construction of walkways to get people to the aircraft. It will eventually include also additional jet bridges to serve the passengers. But right now, we are looking at the southern up here for the southern piece and the northern piece. This is all passenger facility charging fund. Again, these are in design, and we are expecting that they will be going out to bid sometime end of this year or the beginning of next year.
Well, let me raise a question here on that. You've already had one. You're in the design for that passenger walkway. This is the first. We built this airport back in the early 90s. We worked very hard to make sure there were four gateways.
Four gates.
And the understanding was, or the plan was, that since the restrictions of four flights per half hour in and out, and I tried structurally to keep it at four gates. So now the moving target is sometime in the future you'd be coming to the board to build two more jetways can park six jets there like it's shown?
No.
Well, that's what you're showing, six jets there. What am I missing? You're going out, you're building this passenger line, because you just said, for the addition, installation of two passenger jet bridges.
Right.
I think just to make clear, right now we have two jet bridges.
Right, you have two jet, and then bridges. two smaller.
We're going to add two more jet bridges.
Right, so it's an addition. You're going from four to six.
No. Two to four.
You're changing out the other
two
gates. Or you're changing those two gates.
The jet bridges.
Because you're showing six planes there. So at the end of the day,
you should take two out.
At the end of the day, you're not going from four. It's going four to four, but you're upgrading.
Right.
So when you're talking about installation of two jetways, you're really upgrading the two non-jet.
Right. The concern that Pete's experienced is that, with the two that are not jet bridges, and during inclement weather, you have a lot of senior people who are walking the tarmac, and there's issues of slippage and falling and those kind of issues. Okay. So clearly, we've gone from a business airport to a leisure airport. Consequently, we need to change with times.
Right.
So Pete's proposing to convert the two outdoor jetways into jetways, and to replace the two that were previously installed for $500,000 each about 10 years ago that have reached their service life. So we will have four new jet bridges, which basically replace two existing, and we basically make outdoors into jet bridges. So you still have four landing slots.
Okay, because I know Pete knows very well, I'm sure you know very well, the county policy, no expansion, and you show a picture, go from four to six blades right away.
Just want to see if you would catch it, Marty.
Okay, we're still staying at four. Okay, thank you. You can continue now. I don't have to call my doctor.
Okay, terminal system upgrade capital project A083A. This is the project that we requested the capital budget amendment and bonding. for the enclosure of the passenger of the existing observation deck so we could relocate the airline operations office and the construction on the other side of another airline public observation area. The thank you. The if you remember from the earlier presentation where we showed the work that's already been completed, Pete mentioned that the airline operations area was shrunk to accommodate the increased security screening area. This provides them with additional space. We enclose the observation deck, and they'll be able to then move up there, which is actually a preferential place for them to be able to see the operation of their airline.
We're going to replace it with a much smaller observation deck. You can see it's approximately 30-40% of the existing observation deck. We found that the previous observation area didn't get the kind of usage that would justify the size. So we're going to construct another one, but it's going to be a much smaller configuration, smaller footprint.
Commissioner, Chairman Ryan reminds me that after I left way back when and he had just arrived, there was a proposal for a 900-square-foot business lounge.
Correct.
And that was summarily
discharged by the state administration.
Now, have you ever gone back to that business lounge?
That.
We have not revisited that. Okay.
Okay, restroom renovations. This is second floor. If you're familiar with second floor men's room and women's room, now that we've got many people getting off of planes at the same time, men and women, the bathrooms are really taxed. This will create a larger facility on the second floor. This is not a capital project. This is a non-recurring project, but it is a significant improvement of what is going to be occurring at the airport terminal.
For those that are familiar, the women's bathroom is presently the men's bathroom, and vice versa. We're actually flipping it because we're going to need a larger facility, and so we're actually enhancing it. The project's already been let and awarded through ANC. We're actually going to construction. It has a 90-day window for construction, so we anticipate getting this whole project done sometime around September. This will be a very sorely needed bathroom facility. As you know, most people, when they get off a plane, is when they go to the bathroom. And so there's a tremendous peak load right now. In the interim, we are in the process of ordering a black tie courtesan, the ones that you see at the PGA, that you can actually, it will be as you come in with the walkway, it'll be right there.
What if you dress casual?
Yes, well, it's something I think, you know, we're in the process of renting it through the Bureau, and clearly it's the kind of accommodations you would expect to come in an airport, not a courtesan.
The icing fluid collection system, this is a project that's been in design for a while now. As things change, we make the modifications necessary. It is now proposed to be located south of the terminal building, as we mentioned, where the car rental parking lot is right now. It is funded with passenger facility charge money. When this project is complete, it will include the construction of two 200,000-gallon underground storage tanks, the improved collection system at the ramp area, as well as the truck upload facilities, which actually helps to pump the spent de-icing fluid from the tanks to the tankers for then disposal off-site. Again, this is really critical so that we make sure that we remain in compliance with all of the environmental regulations.
Our consultant, Club Harbor, has been in constant contact with DEC to ensure that what we're doing is, in fact, the most environmentally conscious method of doing this. So we felt that putting the tanks underground and using and actually building the finished product on top of the tanks, we'd be allowed to use the area on top for parking and some other issues while the underground tanks would be below ground. We have met with several manufacturers who do this for a living and have had these things in place in other airports. And there are several redundant systems in the event that those tanks should breach, that there's a secondary collection system, so nothing would leak into the brine brook. So this is something that we were very conscious of. Now, keep in mind that the projected cost is around $18-19 million. This is a good chunk of our PFC funds that we have been discussing with the board. This project was slated to go this year, except that when we realized that the footprint that we needed to build on wasn't in fact conflicting with the electrical upgrade, we felt to be prudent to do the electrical upgrade and move all the electricity out of the footprint of this project. So this project actually got pushed back, which makes the PFC balance look larger than what it is. And actually, this will drain about $19 million out of the current $24.
Was it, you going to cash this up?
No, yeah, this is PFC funding capacity facility charges. The FAA's already approved. So we'll be drawing against the PFC balance.
George, is that okay? I'll remind the committee that it's about 10 years, over 10 years, since the prior administration proposed a different de-icing.
Correct.
That's
right. Project over 10 years. And, right. So, but it's amazing. It's going, so we've lived 10 years with the existing system that we didn't like 10 years ago.
Correct. Now keep in mind that the footprint of where these tanks are is actually where we have those 40,000 gallon tanks right now. They're above ground. They're getting close to the end of the service life.
Okay, the baggage screening building. This is something that really comes about directly as a result of the TSA measures with respect to screening of bags. Right now, as you noticed in the last slide, Joe, the baggage screening takes place right in the terminal lobby. Well, should there be a problem, you don't necessarily want the bag in the terminal. You want it separated. This new building will provide for the inline screening of bags. It will take those machines that are in there now and move them out of the lobby area where all the passengers are. The TSA conveyance system and screening, baggage screening apparatus will be able to be funded with TSA money. Most of the rest of the building is funded by PFC money. We do have we have to comply with the new TSA guidelines for the actual screening mechanisms. So this project is also in design now. It's approaching 30%. We are also concurrently making application to the TSA to get the funding for the new bags. The new equipment.
It's about a $20 million project. We think we'll get $10 million from TSA. The balance will come from PFC and county. Also on the second floor of this building, the first floor is the mechanism for screening bags. The second floor we propose to rent to TSA. TSA can't pay for their accommodations, but they can pay as rent.
Right.
So
right.
Clearly we intend to put them on top of the baggage screen. So it's two stories.
Commissioner, this is for the baggage screening, but I understand full body screening is coming to the airport, and where will that take place?
Yeah, right now we're scheduled for full body screens. It's probably going to be our healthcare plan in the future, but basically right now we have no date on that. The TSA has not given us a date as to when it's going to occur. Right now we're working with an architect to kind of look at how we're going to reconfigure the lobby of the ticket area to accommodate those machines and how big it is. Right now all we know is that we have 2,500 square feet now. The TSA has indicated they need about they need 4,600 square feet in total. So it's a huge chunk of real estate that they take up. That's why it's important to kind of always have an idea of what we're going to do. So we don't know when they're coming. They're having trouble with the systems throughout the industry. We're using them part-time, so they're not quick to push them out the door right now. So we think we have a little time.
But in terms of your planning and location, I assume you're looking to where you might,
exactly
where you can meet this, what that might bump and move around and all that kind of stuff.
We're working with an architect right now getting different kind of concepts, knowing that we have to do something. We just don't know what that time frame is going to be, but we're preparing for it.
Okay. And we'll have to pay for it, obviously.
Mm-hmm. They'll pay for it.
If I can, one question on the de-icing. You're going underground. Is there? I know we talked a couple of years ago about the environment, not to switch committees, but the environmental work of the EIS, and we went along with not doing the EIS on this part of the project. But is there the secret documentation? Because I think this is the first time you're going those 200,000 gallons underground. There are certain issues, as you said, to prevent spill, but I assume the secret documentation would kind of go through that and give all your mitigation plans at it? Because I'm not.
We've been going through that extensively with the consultant who we design.
Right.
So at every stage of the game, we say to them, go back to DEC, go back, make sure that they're okay with this, because we don't get into a situation where, you know, we have Weinbrook, we have the watershed,
right.
And have an issue that becomes an environmental nightmare. So
I'd like to suggest on behalf of Chairman Kaplow, it's the Environmental Committee, if you have that secret documentation, submit it to the Environmental Committee so they can just take a look at it.
Sure.
And just so you're reassured that it because it's federally funded, it also has to follow the NEPA
okay.
process. And the NEPA, the FAA just signed off on the NEPA. If you recall, at one time, all of this was going to take place at the Air National Guard site.
Right.
So we had to submit a new application to the FAA, moving it down to this location. And they've signed off on it. NEPA was a part of that as well.
Okay, so if you can submit that documentation. Because on the other side of the airport, there's still the de-icing project on the other side of the airport.
Yeah.
With the EIA, that's a separate project. But this side, but I think Chairman Kaplow would want to see that secret documentation.
Just for my clarification, we had gone from, with respect to the security screening function, we had gone from about 800 square feet to 2,500 today, where it is currently. And they've told you that we'll need an additional, how much more for the?
Well, in total, they'll need close to 4,900 square feet
okay.
for everybody. Mm-hmm. So they've been jumping around quite a bit. It gets bigger and bigger.
All right.
It gets smaller and smaller.
Yes, Leslie Shimsky.
Do we have some idea where we're going to put that extra square footage for the time frame?
Well, it's either going to be the existing one is right now, where we're going to try to take a look at and see if we can make that enlarge it, move some bathrooms around, or we actually, with the reorientation of the ticket lobby, there's other machines going out and reorganizing the ticket lobby on the north wall, we believe we can build a brand new entrance for the security screening machines, which is important to us because what we can do is we can abandon one and move into a new space for them right away without interrupting our customers. So we're looking at all those different formats right now with an architect.
Hey, Commissioner, I know the budget staff, the budget committee does have questions about the financing of the project.
Sure, there's a lot of issues we've been going back and forth.
Right, so I think I want the budget committee to get, but just a question, again, I don't have to lose the focus on the, can you talk about the number of additional passenger, I guess, seating, there's some reference to, with all this work, the observation deck, a lot of offices, but you are, I believe, also assisting the passenger site. Can you just put on the record exactly how many additional seats or square footage is being dedicated to new passenger or additional passenger space?
Well, right now we have, like I said, we went from 85 seats in the departure lot when we first started this whole program. Now we're up to about 200. But with the TSA bumping out, we've actually taken those seats that used to be in the public side of the terminal and moved them into the departure lounge. So if you were to ask me how many seats you have today, I probably maybe have another 50 seats from what I had 5 years ago. It's just that we've rearranged everything.
So is this project going forward in front of us today adding additional seats from where you are today, what are you going to end up when we finish with this project?
Well, I might end up with some extra seating because right now, again...
The question is how much?
100 seats.
Another additional 100 seats.
Yeah.
In the departure lounge or outside?
In the departure lounge would be nice if we could get that. I mean, it's just, again, the biggest problem you have to realize is that we're putting 2 million people through the building. Mm. And, you know, whether it's a seat or not a seat, they're physically in the building. So what we try to do with all these different things is to make it safe and nice for them and secure for them. And it's not easy to, within the existing structure, to achieve all that. But we have, by basically being creative and actually realizing that we have a customer that is satisfied. And so far we've been winning that battle, but we're going into the point now with all the different TSA regulations and all the different things that we're obligated to do. I just don't have a lot of space, so we've got to come up with some other mechanisms. To make a person stand or seat or sit, I'd like to be able to have them sit. Plus the amount of bags they have. The other problem we have is the fact that no one wants to pick baggage fees. So instead of putting them through the machine, they take them with them, and they have a lot of stuff. And that stuff goes through the machine and goes into the departure lounge. So a lot of people are using seats to put their bags up or to put them in front there. So we've actually lost a lot of space by the amount of bags that they can bring through. We've got strollers. We've got a different type of clientele. We've got a lot of wheelchairs. I mean, we went from 100 wheelchairs a year, servicing 100 wheelchairs, you know, to the point where
we can do it at any given time, 50 a day. You know, because our generation is getting older, and we travel, and being handicapped doesn't stop you from traveling, and we want to make sure we serve that customer, and we do. That's why those the jet bridges that you talk about, they're so important to the handicapped people, with wheelchairs, walkers. That's how important it is. It's not a matter of whether it's four gates or three gates or whatever. It's a matter of, like, how do I process a person without picking that person up, dragging them down some stairs, which is embarrassing to them. So we're not serving the customer on that end. Plus the fact is, in half an hour, I've got to take 117 people off an airplane, 100 bags off the airplane. I've got to clean the airplane. I've got to put 117 people back on board with handicapped people and the bags on there, fuel the airplane. I've got to do that in 30 minutes. Without the tools to do it, I can't do it.
Now, Pete, listen, I will say you're doing a great job, what I can tell. Let me just mention to the committee, it may be counterintuitive, but because we have gone to almost 2 million passengers, we have, in fact, fewer flights. We're hitting the 240 passengers per half hour. So, whereas some of your constituents may ask you, the airport, we're doing things, the airport's getting busier, isn't that going to feed into expansion and more flights? So many more people on each plane, many of those time slots, three flights, are hitting the cap, and so we actually have fewer flights, not more. So we're accommodating some of these capital projects, maybe accommodating, you know, more people, because one, they're there, and we're trying to accommodate, but it's really not just adding those extra flights, it's actually cutting back on the flights. So I just, it's a little counterintuitive, but it's very gentle.
I have a general question about the flow and what's happening to the quality of the flow with your needing to move, juggle this here and this there. The way things are trending with these various projects, do you feel as if the flow of the airport, the ability to get people through efficiently and comfortably, are you able to keep up? Is the flow continuing to be as good? Are you actually doing things that are helping improve the flow? Or are things starting to deteriorate?
That's a good question. We do a mechanism that they don't do at other airports. We actually flow the passengers into the departure lounge. And on any given day, we can flow them very well. We actually have personnel out there that will actually help the people getting through, make sure they don't miss their flight. We actually go out of our way to make sure it's more comfortable. We also try to drive them up to the second and third floors to kind of get them out of there when their plane's not coming in. That works perfectly until we have a weather delay, until we have some kind of mechanical delay. And then what happens is once a person sits in a departure lounge and he's waiting for an airplane that might be a two-hour delay right now, they physically don't want to leave that seat. So what happens is we start to back up. So there are a lot of different things that cause us problems where we try to attract them back out again. We try to mitigate the situation the best we can. But we're always on the edge. And if you look at all the complaints, we barely get any complaints about how the airport runs. In fact, we see tons of complaints before how we treated our customers. We go out of our way to treat our customers very well because I need repeat customers. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a flow of repeat customers coming back and forth to the airport to try to make it as nice for them as we possibly can, but we're coming to the point where we're not doing enough. So we need the next phase of how we're going to treat our customers.
And this represents the next phase? Or are you talking about
this represents the next phase of how we're going to flow our customers, how we're going to handle our customers. Yeah.
Okay, I want to get to the budget side of it.
But just to that point, and it does bring in the budget. What about shopping?
Shopping, I'd love to do it there if I had the room.
Because then you not only can move your passengers around and give them something to do, but you increase your possibility for sales tax revenues.
One of the things, if I can put that up, is that one of the things when we talk about driving them up to the second and third floor, we try to give them something like put some seating up there, put television sets up there. One of the things we were kicking around today is as goofy as it sounds, that we're going to take one office on the second floor and turn it into the 10-minute nail salon.
Oh, they're great.
You know, so
sorry, but they really are. Use them at Newark. It's good.
Yeah. So we're looking at that. Is that at least you give some? That's talking about dragging them out. So if someone's sitting in a seat in the departure lounge and they know that my flight just got nailed for 2 hours, well, let me go outside rather than sit here. Let me go outside. I'll get my nails done. I'll go get something to eat. I'll be treated like a human being instead of sitting in this cattle car in the parking lounges. So we're trying to get those things. We're trying to get those little amenities that just help with their day-to-day coming out of Washington.
Right.
Oh, that'd be great. And it does bring in revenue.
Exactly.
I mean, increased ability to bring in some extra revenue.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
When you drive the person over to the nail salon, don't they leave their bags there?
Well,
on the seat?
No.
They have to take their bags with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, never leave your bags.
I'd like to come back to the budget issues, just per se, for the... my understanding that over the last 10 years, the median fund balance of the airport is like $17.5 million. The projected year-end 2010 fund balance is going to exceed $29 million. So the question of the day before you, Commissioner, is given this is about a $5 million project, the question the committee has is, should we not consider cashing this up as opposed to bonding it at 2.5%, whatever it might be? So can you...
The $29 million, the $4 million that we cashed out for the eventual hasn't been drawn down from the 29, so that's inclusive of the $29 million.
Okay, so we're at 25.
If you net out the 4, you're at $25 million, 24, okay. 25 million.
From your experience, do you have information? You know, we can use a lot of statistics, but is there some kind of standard? There are a lot of airports around the country doing similar kind of work. Do we know, is it a percentage of budget or whatever? How do we try to calculate what's appropriate?
We had a very lengthy discussion with Lindman's committee this morning on that issue.
Okay.
I think he gave his staff directions as to how we should come up with a... Right now what you have is that the budget directors reached out to Moody's, Standard, Poor's, and Fitch. They came up with not a criteria or form, but a general rule of thumb, which, as you know, you can take it with a grain of salt. So Lyndon indicated that we should work together to come up with some fund balance that we're comfortable with, perhaps on an average base over the last 10 years, so that we can say that that's what we'd like.
Okay, well, in fact, Lyndon and this committee staff worked very hard this morning, and in fact, they did that research, and I guess that is the number I was referring to. About $17.6 million is, in fact, the median fund balance for the airport over the last 10 years. Now, you know, I see that. I can say to myself, a lot of things change. I mean, that is a formula. That's something you discussed this morning. That is the answer to that analysis, 17.5, whether that allows you to look into the future, as you say, the de-icing as things coming along. But to answer the questions you did discuss with Linda, the answer is $17.6 million.
Well, I mean, that's something that the Linda asked us to develop some framework or guideline. It has been accepted by the administration. I mean, based on Larry's research with Standard & Poor's and Moody's, they were basically indicating a year's worth of cash flow for an A or AA rated airport, which would put us around $50 million. So, again, we're somewhere between $17 million and $50 million as to what the compromise should be. And the administration hasn't made that decision yet. So I think at this point, we're still asking the board to bond the $5 million.
Well, then I think the committee, I mean, my personal views notwithstanding, the committee has some concerns about this. And I think we need to come up with, I mean, I don't think anyone should just be pulling numbers out of the air. A 10-year meeting is one approach, looking at a year's worth of cash flow or what you said. But I think, you know, we're both involved in helping to establish policy here. And I think we need to...
Olivia.
Come up with some kind of process where we're going to agree on how to move forward. Mr. Jenkins, do you have any ideas?
Mr. Chairman, on this particular thing, in the spirit of trying to move this particular project forward in the particular time frame now, what the suggestion would be, even if with the $5 million, it still would be $3 million over that medium 10-year number, that for this project we should move forward this with on a cash basis, and then we should continue to do that work to come up together, because there's never been more money in the balance than it is now, ever, right? So the 17, you know, 10-year median at 17 still seemed, it'll be $20 million in it after this particular project, and it hasn't been drawn down yet. And if you know, Commissioner is correct, the way that the project was booked, I would assume it's not going to get drawn down right away. I would say, I mean, how long is the project going to take?
The project will take probably 12 to 14 months.
So even during that time, Mr. Chairman, I think that we say at this point in time, the project should move forward, cash up the project. They haven't withdrawn the $4 million. They're not going to withdraw the other $5 million, at least for another 12 to 18 months. You know, sporadically, it'll get down. And we can see, and if there's an issue that comes up based on the other projects on the wish list that are necessary to keep the fine running of the airport going and to increase the passenger flow, as the chair said, then we can have that discussion then, because we can always come back and bond additional funding for the projects.
If I can ask, the de-icing with the $20 million for the de-icing, does that come out of the, is that the TSA? No. Is that the PFC?
Yeah, that's PFC.
So that's a different
correct
pot of money.
Right now we have before the FAA possibly $34, $35 million worth of projects. Right now we're sitting with approximately $25 million with the PFC charges, somewhere that range.
Okay, so that's the point. So there's $25 million in a PFC fund and another $25 to $29
million. Keep in mind the PFC charges can only be used when the FAA approves that project. So
we're going to hope they would approve most of the things we're doing at the airport.
They don't approve
everything.
No,
they're very specific
on what you
Well, the committee should understand there's two separate parts. Both are about $25 million.
Right, but one subject to FAA control, the other subject to our own discretionary control.
Okay. Well, what's the legislation in front of us calls for bonding. So if it's the committee's desire to at least consider or, in fact, pass a cash situation, we're going to have to set this aside and talk with the administration about preparing different legislation. Am I correct on that? Okay, that's the status we're at. Does the committee want to at least spend some more time thinking whether or not we should cash this up as opposed to moving forward today on a bond?
Can you get the legislation to us just to do the capital project, you know, without bonding it, you know, cashing it up by next week or Monday?
I'll talk to the administration.
I mean, if that's the case.
All right, then the committee will have both in front of it, and we can make, you know, next week we can have that discussion. So we don't want to hold up this problem. I mean, this design, you're getting into final construction. We don't meet again until, I guess, next week. So if this committee next Monday morning can act on one or the other and still get you on the board's agenda for next Monday night, so we're not losing any time. All right, that's...
To Public Works at this point, that's a financing issue as far as the project substantively. Are there any questions or are there any issues that the Public Works, Parks, Labor, Transportation Committee needs to take up that would... not permit us to move forward with an approval of the budget amendment, capital budget amendment, and the proposed bond act today?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I thought we were going to hold up on the bond act, but I'm not sure that we don't just need to do the whole piece of legislation without referring to it. I'm not sure.
Mm. Well, both pieces of legislation are in the parks. You know,
they are.
I think in fact the way we might speak them to do.
All right, but once again, financial issues aside. All right, then, are there any other questions that members have with respect to these projects? Just the substantive stuff connected with the projects, not the financing. All right.
Okay, well, I think for budget, then, at least we'll, both committees will really set this
aside.
We're
going to have to convene again as two committees again next week and take this.
All right, Commissioner.
The 12 proposals, I think we'll just leave it on a disk for you to look at, because we'll be going through a formal capital budget presentation anyway. This is our wish list that we submitted to the Capital Working Committee.
Mm-hmm. For the 2012.
And we appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, and we will send you the...
Color-coded double standard.
Right. We will send you the electronic file. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Like, by the way, when it finally gets to us, we promise to be responsible. But you're involved in a different process.
That's Dave.
I guess we have to carry
on.
I know. Members of the Budget Committee, we have... So you're still with us on this? Yeah, you're still with us. The Tarrytown, the... items 4065, 4066, 4067, and I believe 4068. Four items dealing with the Tarrytown Lighthouse. And do we have anybody from the administration?
4107.
That's the both committees.
That's the next item after that. Who's here from the... Oh, okay. So we have everybody we need to take up these acts related to the Tarrytown Lighthouse. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
All right, we have before us...
Sorry to delay it today.
It was an airport delay.
Loading. Happens.
All right, this is a Tarrytown Lighthouse, RKL01, $552,000. This is over at the Kingsland Point Park in the village of Sleepy Hollow. Commissioner, I'll turn the floor over to you to describe the proposed projects.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Galusha, who has been working on this project for many years.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to pass around some photographs. Kingston Lighthouse is a historic property right off Kingston Point Park in Hudson. It doesn't serve as a functional navigational aid any longer, but it's used to provide an educational facility for hundreds and hundreds of scouts and school kids throughout the year. We have docents run through and tours. What you have before you today is are actually three acts. And a little bit of background, the village of Sleepy Hollow enjoys an agreement with us to operate and maintain Kingston Point Park along with the lighthouse. Years ago, the village was awarded two grants, one from the state and the other from the federal government, to help with the restoration of the lighthouse. So we've taken our original estimates for the project and reduced the amount of our request by the amount of those grants that the village received. In accepting those grants, we have provide an easement to state parks, which is one of the grantors, and also amend the IMA, the environmental agreement that we have with the village, along with amending the capital program to reduce our total number, and then the actual bond asset itself. So there are four acts as part of this this project. The lighthouse is in poor condition on the inside. We've done geomet service, repairing it, keeping it in good service. It's an 1880s lighthouse. The county started in the 70s. The last capital project was to install a bridge from the mainland to the lighthouse to provide better and more and safer access. So, I mean, that's in a nutshell. I can answer any questions.
Any questions, both committees?
Well,
it's not functioning, you said.
It's not functioning as a lighthouse. Right. It does, however, have all the displays. It's a series of stacked circular rooms. And the first floor is a kind of a living history setup of what the order would look like when the lighthouse was there.
Is there a charge to go into the lighthouse when the schools are looking at it, or...?
I believe that the programs are available free to the schools and to the scouts.
So the total cost what to the county is what, $552?
Correct.
And what about this other $248 that's actually being contributed by the village of Sleepy Hollow?
That's correct. Through the state and federal grants.
So the total project for this is costing almost $800,000 beyond that.
That's correct.
It's 25%. I don't know. You should ask that
question. Provide the design documents and the construction. And the construction manager.
And the lighthouse is going to be brand new after all this?
Well, it'll be completely restored. You'll have it. As you saw in the photographs, there's a curation inside where it's submerged. And so it's repointing, painting, replacing some of the steel. There will be a whole list of things, yes. There will be. Hopefully for all our lifetimes.
Does your district want it?
I think it's important to mention, too, that there's a time-sensitive issue here. As you mentioned, the grant had an extension, but it's up July 31st, 2011. So if we don't act on it before then, lose that grant.
I actually took the tour of the lighthouse with my husband and my son a number of years ago, and it's funny how much I'm a historian, so I do this stuff all the time. I read about this stuff all the time, and it's amazing how much of what I saw in that lighthouse tour has actually stuck with me all this time. It's really a great thing. It's fabulous for school children. We went on a tour because we were part of a group that was having a party at the park, and we went as part of that. It's really a great amenity, and it's good for the It's good for the water. It's good for the whole Hudson waterfront, I think. And I definitely support the restoration.
Right in the area limits?
No, I am.
A question was asked. I've submitted to the commissioner a picture of a large pile of soil or something.
Closing counters.
Right. Can you have a comment on what that is, if it's still there?
That's material that's been stored by the at the GM plant. It is adjacent to the GM plant. That I don't think that pile is very altered. However, the village is working with the owners of that site to develop a long-range plan. I think they're in the process of either very close or has accepted the preliminary site plan development. The lighthouse will not play a prominent role, but it is a strong focal point in the development that will happen at the in the private development of the GM plant.
So that leads me to believe there might possibly be some kind of an agreement later on, but right now, when this is restored, the village of Sleepy Hollow, I gather, maintains responsibility for the park. And the plans to run tours in there, to be open, people just walk in and out. It still will be guarded or, a park ranger or somebody there. How is that going to work?
Well, nothing will change. Today, we run it locked, and it's open by appointment. With groups, and we have a series of docents who lead the course.
So it'll be the same process by appointment. So you just can't go and walk it. It's locked, except at certain times when there are appointments. Okay. But the village will have to maintain that responsibility and liability for a while.
It functions as a great educational tool for the area, really. For the Boy Scouts as well as the
students. So once it's restored, hopefully it'll be open for more tours. All right, for the budget committee, the first one, this is for the 500, this is for actually reducing the authorized amount down to 552,000, which will fund the design, rehabilitation, and restoration. So this is the full amount of money that will be required for the whole project, right?
Correct.
Any other comments, questions from members of the budget committee? Members of the person? Members of the committee?
We have a vote. All right, let me just take them one at a time. The act, I guess, is the thing that we're going to dwell on primarily for public works, parks. The capital budget amendment just amends the method of financing, some adjustments on the bonding. So, once again, keeping your attention primarily on the purpose of the project, worth of the project, et cetera. Why don't we take a few minutes for any remaining questions on the part of Public Works Parks, if there are none. Mr. Chairman, I don't hear any, so, okay.
Can I ask a question?
Let's say Marcos.
Thank you. Just quickly, I'm just curious. We took the property over in 74. Is this the first time we've seen an influx of money going into this structure?
Right when we took it over, we built a bridge, mm-hmm. and that was it.
And that was it, okay.
I think since then.
All right, thank you.
All right, and I guess the specific act that authorizes the county to amend the IMA, I assume that there is a certain contingency. We're amending it to acknowledge the $248,000 being contributed by the village, anticipating to receive state and federal funding. So I assume all the legal language, all this is subject to, in fact, receiving that money. So I gather what happens if that money is not received, what we are doing is we're taking this money out. So if the county, is it like 100% that money's in the bank, or is it only 50-50? Because we may have to come back to the board to add that money back in if we're going to do this by ourselves. Or are we so sure that the money's coming? Because we're taking this action now to reduce the funding. If for some reason it doesn't show up, isn't going to go forward unless you come back to us.
Can't we do it contingent on the other funds?
Well, that's why I'm just trying to understand this whole action.
The other funds are available contingent on your action.
Okay, well, you're comfortable with it?
Yes,
that, that Sleepy Hollow is, in fact, sitting there maybe with the money and they're just waiting. Okay, I just wanted couple of bases.
I'm just curious, can I ask what grant it is?
There's the federal government is the Save America Grant.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And the state grant is with the state organization.
Okay, so David, so it's your understanding they have in fact gotten that money set aside
and they're waiting
for our action. Yes. Okay, well then.
Can I just ask one last?
Sure, legislative
to that to the budget side of it then. Does the county pay for anything else? Does any money from our Parks and Rec budget go into this? I mean, do we have employees there?
No, that's all part of the IMA.
All right, so we don't cut the grass. We don't.
No.
Oh, I see. Okay. Got it. And to the legislator, if I may. So Sleepy Hollow does, for the record, want this.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Now, this is the restoration of the lighthouse. Somewhere along the line, because I don't think we did it yet, there's that $4 million project for the bathhouse. That's still out there somewhere, right?
After this matter's handled.
Okay. I
would certainly say that any vote or any paperwork that we're about to execute should indicate its contingent on the funds coming in from the federal government.
Well, I think in the record we always say that, but the IMA, the act authorizing entering the IMA, specifically refers to grant funds anticipated to be received. So, it would be more of a question. The testimony is the money's there, waiting for us. So, I think at this point we can move forward, and we'll deal with an issue if it pops up. It doesn't sound like anything's going to pop up. So, I think we're in good shape. Right, so you're ready to go. So,
yes.
All right. So, please, for the vote committee, okay.
Yeah, it's fine because I mean, you mentioned the IMA, which is related. In the secret status sheet, it talks about the grants, the flow of funds contingent on the county board, approving the easement, 50-year easement. So, I don't think there are any other questions.
There's actually four different actions here, right? So,
right.
I would entertain a motion, I guess, for both committees on all four. So, for all four items related to this project, moved by Legislator Williams, seconded by Legislator Burton. Any other comments or questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Both committees and opposed? All right, so for both committees, all four items are passed.
I'm sorry.
Report it to the floor.
Bond Act, Capital Budget Amendment, IMA, Bond Act. Approving it either.
We need a motion for members.
I thought I made that motion.
I thought Alfreda made the motion.
I can't second it. Oh, you second it?
I'll second it for okay. Parks. So we're all right. I'm the second for the Parks. Okay. Children's Museum is next, I'm told.
Go to that.
So we only have one more meeting on
items 9 and 10 on the budget, the committee's agenda, items 3692, 3693, resolution to set a public hearing. And a local law authorizing the county to enter a 10-year lease agreement with the Westchester Children's Museum.
No, thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
No, they really do want to leave.
Mr. Chair, can I ask one question?
Mr. Burroughs.
I just want to make sure that, Commissioner, I understand subpoenas were issued.
Thanks.
Yes.
And your appearance today, are you here pursuant to that subpoena?
Yes. I was coming anyway, but then I was...
But you were coming here today. Then
yes.
I guess through the chair, and I don't understand. Phil, I don't think it's you.
Look, for the record, just if I can isolate on the Public Works Committee, let me just say that we have items for discussion today. We requested that you come to help us understand these items, as you always do. I can't think of an instant unless you have something that is already... on your schedule. You either try to make it or you come in by the through our technology here on the big screen. I did not issue a subpoena. I did not require a subpoena for you to come here today. So just for the record, you came here, as far as I'm concerned, the way you always come here.
I wanted to just make that clear for the record, because I know there's been some discrepancy or something. letters back and forth about whether you there was a subpoena served and the need for you to be here, and I confirm basically or echo the same thing that Mr. Ryan just indicated.
And Mr. Rogowski, the bathhouse is almost finished. There's a ribbon cutting the end of this month with Scenic Cousin.
Yeah, I don't recognize those.
The Friends of Parks.
Oh, so that, okay, because that was basically done with that private grant.
Yes.
Susan, thanks for bringing that up.
So at this point, just for the record, so no county, I mean, I know there was a request at some point for to have some county participation in that project, but that never went forward. So the work is being done with the
grant
itself.
You want to ask anything about plan list?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think she's going to
I just have, I noticed that our joint meeting agenda, we have to turn this agenda page
right
over. There's a item 7 on the back. And
Brian Richpool.
And 9.
Okay, and then why don't we just take these in order? Because I have our agenda today is jointly with budget is 1 through 7. And do we have a copy of 7? Is there a copy of 7 in here?
And Mr. Chairman, before you
ethics.
I just want to conclude the business of the two committees meeting together.
But
Mr. Tim, on the Sprain Ridge thing, did we get the documentation that Jim Robinson needs to complete the document?
Okay. Nothing has come to my attention. All right, I'm looking at something now called...
Jim is here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, Jim, okay, could you explain to me? This has just been handed to me.
We got a request, and it's in the process. So I spoke to Steve last week.
Mm-hmm.
There were some problems in getting information, but I said what we're going to do is just send it up to you without the seeker and without other information that we asked from other departments, because...
And that's why Commissioner's here on this particular item for Spring Ridge is because we are requiring that information to be given to the law department in order for us to move forward on the item. And for whatever reasons, I'm not sure what reasons that they've been unable to gather that, but this is a project that was a capital project that was adopted by this board as far as in the capital projects plans. And it's something that the reason that we kept the pool closed for the last 2 years, we closed it in 2010 to move this particular project forward in 2011 in the budget process. We understood that this project would move forward. So at this point in time, the question for do you, Mr. Chairman, is to understand how we can get that information to that. And that was why they had a personal request and requested them not just to come to the meeting, but to come to the meeting today with that information that we've been waiting for, that we know that the department has had prepared in the past and move forward. It's not really, whether it's a good project or a bad project at this time. It's like, all right, we already went past that particular thing.
All right, so 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, maybe 2 weeks ago, this I had asked for a fact sheet on this project. Olivia, how long ago was that? 2 weeks ago? Or? Right. Okay. All right. So, do we have that?
Not yet.
Okay. And that, Mr. Chairman, is the reason that the subpoena was issued was not just for their appearance, because they would appear, I believe, Commissioner, and they're supposed to appear without that. The information that we requested.
So we were really looking for information, right? This was a request for a very specific item or items of information.
Yes,
and I understand that what we have. Jim, what you have presented to us, you've been able to do this because you've received some information recently?
No, this was based solely on the information that was provided to us by Steve Bass of your staff, and that's what we gave to Todd Monoclon Council.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're clear on that.
So that's all I had.
Okay. So then let me get back to the question, and we'll... Okay. All right. Katie's here. Okay. You were here the day I had asked for the fact sheet. Maybe not?
There are so many.
Okay, that's all right. That's okay. All right, so, Olivia, the fact sheet that I had requested, say, 2 weeks ago, you still don't have that?
Correct.
Okay.
Bill, I have
so, it. Okay, so that's what I guess we're waiting for. So anyway.
And this is dated from 2009, so there really has not been anything further since then on the basic capital project fact sheet.
The budget office told us that they were not able to prepare the bonding request for the law department because they did not have the capital information from the parks department. That was the information that I was given from the budget director.
Okay. When were you told that?
Several times beginning in March.
From March.
Is Mr. Solis in here?
It's Mr. Solis.
Including up until Friday, because we try to meet once a week. Mm-hmm. So as of Friday, he still told me he did not have the information.
Okay. Well, I'd be more than happy to share this with you, but it's as I said, it's dated 2009, because nothing has really happened since then.
I'm just going based on the information I received from the budget.
If, Mr. Chairman, if we had that information, if given that to the budget staff here, we'd be able to determine whether or not it needs to go to our additional budget staff to have additional updates being done on this specific item. And
yeah, I think we're at a point where the budget department is telling us they don't have the information. So, okay, so if they don't have the information, I felt 2 weeks ago that we needed to insert ourselves into, I guess, the process. So now we have a sheet, which I don't think anybody else in the room had. So this is good. So if we can get this sheet and have this put into the hands of the budget department immediately, I would imagine that they could do the work they need to do to interface with law to get the...
Well, there's two items, as Mr. Bess and Ms. Rose. The capital project sheet will be used for two purposes. Mm-hmm. One, to give to our bond council.
Okay.
And then second, the planning department. As you're aware, we've been instructed not to ask for any procedure anymore, so we look blank spaces. So we would turn that over to your staff again. So to the extent your staff can get us the capital budget description, get the bond council, to the extent your staff can get us the necessary seeker, then we'll write the...
All right, wait a minute. Okay. What's the deal with the seeker? Who, are we equipped to do that?
I'm not aware of that, Mr. Right. And I'm looking at Ms. Rose on that particular item.
Well, that's not a role that we typically play in capital projects.
I know we had to do it for, I know we did the secret for the LaPorte project, and as we had stated here around this table, it was with great consternation that we had to do that secret because we should not have to do that. So we usually make a request to the planning department to deal with that. So I'm not...
Well, you can make that request. We've just been directed that we can't make that request directly. That's why the legislation that we gave to you says please insert secret here. When I discussed it with Mr. Bass, I said, if you make the request to get the secret, then we'll revise the legislation to insert whatever plan comes up with.
Do you, Mr. Chairman, which are, who made that instruction that you were no longer able to do that? And the county attorney's here as well, because I just saw him walk in. Last time I checked, we're still the branch of the government, right? And you are our attorney.
Well, more importantly, the county attorney works for both the legislature and the board of legislators, the legislature and the county executive. And so we've got, it looks like we're traipsing once again on this terrain where we've got one branch of government issuing one set of instructions, the county board having different expectations, and the county attorney now is caught in the middle.
So
this is working out too good.
I agree with you, Mr. Chairman. So at this point in time, we make a request to the bonding is created, there's certain pieces that are required, and the law department has usually been, for lack of a better term, the coordinator, the quarterback of gathering all that information that's required for the bonding legislation to move forward, requesting that from various departments, etc. So I would hope that we would make that first request, and we have done that directly to the planning department ourselves, because in the charter, there are some provisions that allow us to move forward on specific projects without a recommendation from the planning department within 30 days, after 30 days after a request. However, for the CEQA, we shouldn't have to do this, right? So, thank you. So we'll make that.
Mr. Bass was advised immediately when the issue arose, and we had emails back and forth on that. So this is, I don't know why this is a shock to the committee. this has been an issue.
The issue again, Mr. Chapman, is who made that request to our attorney to say don't do that. That's one problem, and that should actually, hopefully, Mr. Robinson can tell us that now who that person was to say don't do that. And second, from the request from the planning department, under just a normal process, the law department coordinates all that activity, and Mr. Robinson saying to Mr. Bass and Mr. Bass's job, trying to make sure that he gets all the pieces together, is just scurrying around and doing what is requested. But the fact is, it should all be coordinated out of the law department, for transparency and for consistency purposes. So, through you, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Robinson, and Mr. Meehan's here, so you don't need to answer for someone else. Ms. Meehan, if you'd prefer to answer that, who said, directed that, a request from the board for information to help create a bond act, would not go to the planning department through the law department.
I didn't get any request like that.
All right, that's fine. What we'll do, Mr. Chairman, is that for some reason, whatever it is, it sounds like there was a derailment in the process, and what we will do is make sure to have follow-up through you, Mr. Chairman, to on this planning item and see that it moves forward. Right?
Yeah, I would think that it would be easy enough to have the Commissioner of Planning understand the importance of, and which I'm sure he does, the not only importance but the necessity of some of these documents, the information. What I believe has occurred time and time again in the past, I think needs to continue, and it should be easy enough for that to be. I can't see why that's not a very smooth interface between our planning department and law.
Are we allowed to go directly to planning?
Well, it would seem to me that if I don't see something quickly out of law that tells me that they're able to proceed ahead, then I would recommend that these two committees meet and invite planning, the administration, and anyone else that needs to be here to explain why something so simple can't be accomplished.
And hopefully,
but before we get to that point, what I would like to do is, see if we can get some indication from Jim and the law department that everything's on track. Let's see if today's Monday. Let's see if we can get that within the next couple of days that everything's fine and we can proceed ahead as usual.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Question to the chair. There is an item on the agenda number 9 and 10. I'm wondering if we could ask that either these move up so that we could have the Commissioner of Parks and Recreation with us as we discuss this item.
Yes, I wanted to do that.
I know it's pressing, but...
So that last item on the joint agenda, the last item... I gather there's no other action that we need to take today. Okay.
Right. This was it's a
you're talking about
budget
item 7.
Spring.
Item 7. Right.
I don't know.
Item 7 on your agenda, Mr. Chairman.
Right.
Because I'm just looking at the wrong agenda.
That's okay. Yeah, I don't have a public works agenda.
Oh, okay.
Do we have a public works agenda?
Yeah, it should be in your file.
It's
yes,
not.
We do. It's the last page, right here.
Oh, okay. Got it.
The other side.
Okay.
I don't think mine wasn't in. I'm sorry.
All right, we're good.
I don't think I have a public works file.
All right. Now, I'm sorry. Now, Judy, now you're referring us over to the items that are strictly on the budget agenda?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Gordon, before.
9 and 10.
Just before, I know you. I'm sorry, though. I don't recall exactly what you were raising, but you had a.
I just was wondering, since we're fortunate enough to have the commissioner here. Anything with Playland opening, anything different with what we had discussed about the admission price and as far as the concessionaires, anything happened there? Because Mr. Ryan and I did speak to the deputy county executive, Mr. Plunkett, about 2 weeks ago now, and we thought that there was something under works that you were going to be discussing with Peter Goldman, if I'm going on memory, and I haven't heard anything since, so if you're able to, maybe you could report back to us. I know it wasn't part of the agenda.
Sure, I'd be happy to. We opened on Saturday, and for the people that were there, it was a happy opening. We had a nice crowd. The weather held out. It actually was breaks in the sky and some sun came. The place never looked better. It's just amazing what the staff does with a very old facility. As far as concessionaires, everybody was up and running. As far as Peter Goldman, we're still negotiating. I gave him a good deal. He counteracted with another, less money. Better deal for him. And so, as a matter of fact, yesterday I sent him our final proposal. Because, for the people that were there, if you walked around, I have to tell you, you really could not see gaping holes. They did a beautiful job of things just blended. We have things now in front of those particular games that are, for lack of a better word, boarded up. But it doesn't look like, gone fishing or under construction. They look seamless. And that was intentional. We certainly, I said from the very beginning, regardless whatever happens, we're open. We're open for 2011, and we're either open or we're not. And I'm very conscious of how it looks. I got a tremendous amount of compliments, which we were very proud of. It's certainly not me. It's the staff that, kills themselves to do a good job out there. So that being said, I did reach out with Peter Goldman. I met with him. I spoke with him on the phone, met with him face-to-face, and we made an offer. He counter-offered, as I said, and I gave him the final offer yesterday, and we'll see what happens. But, and there's no off the record, I know, but if he does not come back in, it's seamless. You don't see the difference. No. There's not gaping holes anywhere.
Okay.
And it works well for the rest of the department.
I was aware that was still ongoing, by the way.
To that point, if I may, for the record, I must say, being there on Saturday for the opening, and you were too, it looks great. It was magnificent. The idea of seamless, that is a perfect word for it, because the entire place was really shining and looked terrific, and you could just see the joy on everybody's faces, including the employees. It was a lovely experience.
This is, I mentioned to the individual that sent me this, that I would mention at the meeting. I just want you to listen to this for about a minute. I took my daughter and her girlfriend to play land. My daughter had never been there. I thought we'd leave in about an hour to see a movie. All right. Instead, the girls went on ride after ride. They loved the candy and caramel apples as well as the cotton candy. They enjoyed walking around the park very much. We are Westchester County residents and only took us about 10 minutes to get there. And they liked that, too. One ride dating back to the 1920s was suggested by a park executive that inquired if we were having a good time. The girls laughed a lot on that ride that ran underground. This was a reference to the old mill. My daughter and more friends will come back. I hope young people are made more aware of Playland. I hope the park receives funds to make improvements. And it was signed by a fellow who doesn't reside in my district, and I emailed him back. I appreciated the input. If there was time permitting, I would just mention this brief 30-second memo to the committees. But it was pretty typical. Everyone that I ran into there Saturday morning had really anticipated the opening, loves the park. They all show up, and it's a lot of families and kids, and they're there to have a good time. Okay,
well said.
Commissioner, thank you for the update.
Sure.
And I appreciate
that. Can she stay?
We are going right into the budget piece of the
Marty,
agenda.
Can we
so,
have the commission?
With no other business that come before Public Works Parks, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Have a second. Without objection, then this committee meeting is now adjourned. We'll be meeting later on, incidentally, today at 4 o'clock to take up some further items of business. Thank you for your work this morning.